You therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the ones that say, I'm tired of being judged, okay, the ones that say, I have the Holy Ghost, you don't need to be the Holy Spirit to me. What? I'm sorry, I didn't realize you had him. I mean, we have to think about this. And you know, we all can say that we have thought the thought, I don't want to hear this again, And we're so quick to think that, but instead of thinking, why is this coming up again, And I'll tell you, I don't do that, okay? I'm not saying it's easy to do, and I'm not saying that I do it, because I don't. Most of the time, if I'm going to say anything, it's not going to be, gosh, that's so true. I see what you're saying. I mean, I don't do that. So, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I mean, I just wish I could really grasp a hold of that, and you know, we can. I think it does take reading it more than the one time we hear it. And a couple more here. And really, this is the last scripture I have, I think, but it's one that my dad has given me as kind of a bottom line scripture and foundational scripture. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. And I don't know about you, but I have not totally attained this first part of verse 3, which is kind of hard to move on to the rest of them once if you realize that you haven't, because let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And so this is where we have to come to the conclusion whether or not we really believe what the Word is saying. Do you believe that this Word, the Bible, was given to us by Jesus, and that every word in it, especially the New Testament, is what the Word is to us? And can we apply it to our life today? And when you say yes, then you get yourself in trouble. When you say no, well then, you're even more trouble, but but how many of us every day do things in strife? I mean, it's. I hope one sense we all say, I want to see when I get to heaven. I want to see a videotape and a video of my life, and I want to look back on these things and I'm like, no. Because, I mean, there's going to be, like, people, there's going to be people watching, I mean, you're not going to be up there by yourself in some little room, And, yeah, I mean, There's a lot of times where it's good that people aren't in the car with me. Okay? There's a lot of times that it's good.
I knew
you were
going to ruin your life
when you were little. But see, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he's calm when he drives. Okay? I won't even ask Carson to share a testimony of however many times I've been on the phone with him and I'm yelling at somebody in front of me, "What are you doing? Go!" You know, I mean, it's just like, I mean, multiple times. I mean, it's one of those things. It's, you know, and it's funny because, you know, we laugh, but I mean, the Lord's got to be up there just shaking his head. I mean, because it's something. Well, yeah. If your wife is shaking her head, you know who the Lord is. But I mean, there are so many things every day that I struggle with just in strife. And I don't consider myself to be someone who's like a strifeful person. I consider Russ to be someone in strife. You know?
Naming names now.
You know, but yeah, we all kind of struggle with that, and so, you know, it's hard when I'm driving to esteem someone else better than myself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And just so you know, that doesn't mean to lust after your brother's, you know, house or anything like that. I mean, just want to make sure that we understand that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And this has been the word to me forever, is to take on the form of a servant, to be a servant. And, you know, so what I'm saying is there's a lot of things I could be in faith for, okay? Just reading those seven verses, you know, it's almost too much to be in faith for. I have no faith now. I'm hopeless. I mean, but I mean, you have to think, I mean, when we come up and share testimonies, is it something that the Lord is pushing you to do? Is he wanting you to come up and share a testimony? I mean, you know, because I don't know if some of you realize this, but some of you have shared testimonies that some of us have a hard time understanding or maybe staying awake through, or, you know, I mean, you can tell that they're not led by the Holy Ghost. And, you know, we're supposed to edify one another and help one another. And when we come up and share testimonies that maybe aren't as the Lord would have them be, you know, it is grieving. And, you know, because, I mean, I look at myself and I think, you know, when I look at all of you, I think to myself, I don't want to see that person leave. I don't want to see that person, you know, walk away from the Lord. Whenever somebody gets up, I really hope that they have heard from the Lord. And I hope that it will be something that will just be awesome, that will change their life. And so think about how much more the Lord is looking at us. And I mean, if I think that way, and sometimes some of you bother me. So, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that in a bad sense. I'm just saying, you know, there are times where I've been bothered by something you've said or done, and yet I still want to see as much of the Lord come through you as the next guy. And the Lord has much more love than I do. And so how much more does he want to see us fulfill his will? And so, you know, the word that he gave to me today is be in faith. And to look to be in faith every day. And to have something to be in faith for. Don't just say, I'm in faith. I mean, that's great, but I mean, you know, people, some of us need to hear what you're in faith for. Some of us struggle with being in faith, I mean, on a regular basis. And we need to hear what you're in faith for. And so, you know, when we go out this week, think about some of these scriptures and think about where you've come from. And think about some of the things that have you had to be in faith for when you weren't even looking to the Lord. I mean, I could give you countless stories, and I have, of things that the Lord has provided for us just by praying, just by being in faith. And, you know, it's just like Maren and Raquel wanting instruments to play, you know, and Maren wanting a guitar, and you know, Shannon comes home with these, you know, not like regular guitars, but like electric guitars, you know. It's like, I mean, it's like that's how much the Lord cares for us, you know. It's so little, and yet we forget these things, and we just go on throughout our life and throughout the day and throughout the week, and then we okay, I'm gonna be in faith to come to a Sunday morning meeting, and I gotta have something to share. The Lord's got to have given me something this week. I've got to have some testimony of where I screwed up that I've made it right with somebody, you know, that I can share. And you know, that's not what he has for us. He has so much more. And so, you know, let's look to edify and lift up one another. And let's look to be in, because, you know, I believe that this ministry was brought back to the mainland of America for a reason. And I believe that we are called to not only go out in other nations, because that's evident that we've been sent out, but we are called to the United States of America. And we are, you know, even though we have been persecuted like crazy because of how close we are, or because of, you know, being a small group or whatever, you know, the fact is I know that we are called to this country. And, you know, I want to see him. I want to see Joe. I want to see Mike Wilson and others. I want to see people go out. I want to see Dan sing to more than just us.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I want to see him have a CD that goes out to the nation.
Yeah.
And not just us making a generous contribution to him and Nate. Okay? And I believe that this can happen. And if you believe it and you haven't prayed for it to happen, well then, pray for it to happen. There is, I'm telling you, we've got so much to offer in this ministry, and we don't realize it. And you know, when Dan first started out, I'm like, no way. I've heard this kid sing, okay? I grew up having a room with this guy, listening to him try to beatbox, okay? If you don't know what that means, it's like a rapping thing. I mean, it was bad, okay? And you know, I didn't have any faith that the guy could sing, okay? I didn't care how many lessons he took, okay? I was thinking he needed to go to Ernest Angley and have a recreative miracle, okay? That's what I was thinking, all right? But you know what? When we went to Rifle, and I heard however many songs that he had done with Rachel and the songs that they did, I was like, this is legitimate. And because he had found a way for him to sing that was perfect for him. And I was blown away by it. I mean, I was totally moved by it. And see, the thing is I've never told him that. So
No, I'm just as guilty. So I'm sorry, Dan. See, I mean, I didn't even realize that. So, I mean, you know, and I'm thankful for Dan, and I'm thankful for his music. My gosh, Abby is nuts about it. I mean, she can't go to sleep unless she's listening to Uncle Dan. I mean, you put in the passion, she's like, Dad, I don't want the passion. You're like, my God. You put in... But we just play the good song over and over. But she still... We put in Revival in Belfast. Dad, can't we listen to Uncle Dan? And Mara's like, Abby, we listened to Uncle Dan last night. And Abby just... I mean, she has to go to sleep with... She just loves to go to sleep to that music. And, you know, I mean, what do you say? I mean... Kids, if they love it, I mean, what are you going to do, you know? And so they take turns every night. They each listen to a different one every night, you know? But Abby always gets hers the next night, you know? And so, you know, I just think, you know, people say take time out to smell the roses. And, you know, I know that because it's like we always have the excuse that I'm busy or I'm doing too much. You know, we don't take time out to see what one another has to offer. And, you know, now that I've said these things, the Lord will test me. And thank you, Lord. But, you know, it's something that, you know, we have to be conscious of. Yes.
I don't even know if I study about the body, that all creation shows forth the glory of God. And, you know, I got this revelation last night that I thought about sharing. You know, when you die, I've been watching these different health videos. One of them was talking about how many critters we have living on us. That it's more than the population of the earth. So we should never be lonely.
That's gross.
But you know, there's one video was showing pictures, didn't it? So I watched
no more rejection.
One of the other videos was talking about how your self can hear you, like if somebody's told they have cancer. And it shows these pictures of all this, but it's like it's kind of like an electrical switchboard that every time we hear it, every time I hear it, there's all this kind of electricity that goes off in us. Even if you're hearing me speak, your body is responding electrically to what I'm saying. And my body responds to what you say. And none of us can escape that. And, you know, the whole principle is you can't eat from the cup of devil. You can't eat at the devil's table and God's table. You can't drink from the cup of devil and the cup of God. You know, in Proverbs 8, it says, wisdom has built his table. You know, God's food is there. He has built this awesome, gorgeous, wonderful table of food, but we don't go for it. It's already, the truth is, all the truth that we ever need has already been established. All the good food that God is ever going to give us is already accessible to us. But we settle for the devil's food. And so I was thinking about this concept, you know, when you die, kind of mystery goes on. And if you could look at all these bugs that live on us, what happens, and you know, this is true with a lot of people that are already alive, that when you eat a lot of acid food, those bugs eat acid food. So really, when you eat dead food and junk food and acid food, you're feeding the bad bugs. What you're doing. That's why a lot of people look half dead, because they got so much bad life and activity going on in them that they are sick. And you know, all of the things we think and the meditation of our heart is either acceptable on the devil's side or acceptable on God's side. And we're feeding our soul, our spiritual man. And you know, Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Our words operate. Jesus is work in the spirit and life. And they operate on us. And it's an awesome responsibility. Just by Brandon's word, to get an operation on Dan. And you know, his words are operating on us as he sees. We're always, it's a continual process of life or death. He's in the power of the tongue. Because our self here is taught. And those, we're either feeding those little bugs, which is awesome when you die, because your body will decompose. Well, in some places, your body will decompose really fast, which is good. You're right back to the earth. God's made it that way. But when you're decomposing, when you're still alive, that's not a good sign. And really, you know, you see the mystery of creation just by what we put in our mouth. Our body tells it all. And I was thinking about Liz being here today, too. You know, what I always try to tell her is we can't run there. You know, there's two things that are true. You can't ever, who can run from God? Nobody runs from God. A lot of people try, but you know, nobody's getting away with it.
Yeah.
And where can we run from the truth? We can all play all kinds of games with ourselves. But we cannot run from the truth. And it took me so long to figure that out. I mean, there's another, this is another offer. And Shannon gave me this thing. I didn't know that I'd read it before, but it comes from a new wine magazine. Actually, it's an old Charles Kinney article. And it's called Breaking Up the Shallow Ground. And Brandon even referred to that. Because if the ground in us isn't broken up and we hear the word, we walked out the door and the world has robbed it.
Yeah.
And so this whole thing that Charles Finney is talking about breaking up the fallow ground, and he goes through these step-by-step things that you have to do to get to the place where you have good ground. So when he's talking, the seed will go in, just like Jesus talking last week, that the seed is only broken in a certain temperature. And if the ground is cold and the seed goes in, it's the life force cannot happen. It can't be replaced. And you know, because I've known so many people and watched so many people now too, reading this again now, I probably read it 15 years ago, but now I'm reading it again, and I've got all this life history behind it as I'm reading it, and I'm realizing why people that have never examined their sin, that have never broken up their fallow ground and been deathly honest about their self-deception and all that. You know, because we are God's children. And the truth is, we've all sinned against God and chose the curse. And unless you come face to face with that and break up your fallow ground, he even goes into this at the end. But, you know, he says, you might as well not even talk to people. You can't get into the ground of the self-righteous. You can't get into the ground of people that are playing games with themselves. It's almost a waste of time. And it's a powerful article if anybody wants it. There's another name for it, but you can find it on the internet too. It's called Breaking Up the Fallow Ground.
You don't have to leave it.
Let us therefore follow up in things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. When you talk about edifying testimony, it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine where your brother may stumble or be offended, but it says, have you faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he do, because he is not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Whatever is not of faith is being the bad guy.
So, a couple things that you've said have really sparked me to share. I didn't plan on sharing this morning. I've been having some stuff going on with me, though. Really, what it comes down to is we've been in the meetings, you know, we've concentrated on Ephesians 1, having wisdom and revelation, right? Well, the Lord has been faithful to me. It hasn't been easy at all times because some things that are coming up in me, you know, I'm a married man now. I have a son. And I'm not living life to myself, you know, so to speak. And I'm not a single guy enjoying just that easy liberty that comes along with that. And something that I've never been allowed to see before, because I wasn't in a position to see it, is how much, what I'm going to be talking about, is really has to do with my dad, Mark, me, and my son, Malachi. And, you know, he spoke about, really, in a nutshell, what I got from when you were speaking on earlier is, you know, if you're seeking Jesus really sincerely, you'll have a solid spiritual foundation. You won't have your own, which is shaky and full of familiars and, you know, just being really how you are without Jesus. Because that's a big thing that I have seen, that when I'm not seeking the Lord and when I'm not setting my face to Him and remembering my first love, it stinks, seriously, to see how much, even though how much I hated it, to see how much I am like my dad, you know, in times where, because right now, I'm not going to sit up here and knock on my dad, because he is a good man, he's very loving. But the unfortunate thing is that he never had come to the place to submit himself to the authority of Jesus. And through love, with love as his motivation, really, he controlled a lot. And nothing was ever good enough, you know. Yet all things, even today, that he has to say, I can say that most of them have, I mean, a lot of wisdom behind them, you know. It's just that his motivation, his spirit is off, because he's actively made the choice to not submit his life to Jesus. And it shows, you know, and it shows in his sons, his two sons. And it's inevitable. I cannot escape it. You know what? But I get up here with joy to share this, because I believe that it will, you know, bring greater revelation to me. That is what Malachi can receive. It's my choice, you know, and how my attitude is towards the Lord with everyday things, with little things, and talking to Him, dealing with Him, working through things with Colby. He's going to receive something, you know. There's just no way around it. And I've been thinking about this, and things have been coming up. And I mean, I'm just thankful that stuff that you guys shared today just really sparked me, you know, striving. You know, a scripture that I got, that I received a long time ago in Hawaii, in 2 Timothy. I'll just read it real fast. But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Good word. In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. Malachi opposes himself every day. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now Malachi, he's come to a place where he's making intelligent decisions, of course, you know, but it's more spiritual than anything, you know. And he is, if there's a true, sincere love from me towards Jesus and to please the Lord, you know what? That can be what he has, too. A sincere want, you know, to please his father and his mother. And that's what I desire. And Lloyd, you spoke about how Gene has said, you know, we're the kings of the house and we're the priests. Yeah. What I got a scripture to that, real simple. You know, I mean, you can sit here and think, okay, yeah, we just rule in our house, you know, we're just the men, you know, the big brutes and tough guys, the kings of the house, you know. But that's really not where it's at. It's, well, for he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And I see that. I really do. I see that, you know, I can't just, you know, rule my house with an attitude and think that I'm just the stuff, you know. Because really, if I'm really the king of the house, you know, I'm servant to all. I'm servant to Jesus, you know. It's just awesome to really, to be able to see this, you know, because Toby and I have had, you know, a couple spats, but I could say, for the most part, I've been able to see that, and it's very grieving, really, you know, to know that I can be like my dad, and, you know, you feel so justified in it, too, at the same time, because what you're saying is so right, you know, it's just all about your spirit and where you're at, you know, with the Lord, day to day. So, anyway, thanks a lot for sharing.
Oh, that's great.
What I'm saying about myself, about that kind of thing, you got to be preaching for
you. Something I'd like to do, but Amy, why don't you go ahead and share something? You want to share something?
It's just funny that, you know, Brandon was sharing this morning that when he got up, the word faith came to him, because on the way here, Jamil and I were talking, and I don't even know exactly how we got on the subject, but I started talking to her about how we came to know, I had really severe injuries, and I had really bad health problems. And I had a surgery here, and basically I couldn't have children, and children was something that Brandon and I both really wanted and prayed for every day, and prayed for my healing, and the doctors here had basically given me no hope except for to have a hysterectomy. And I was just telling her, I said, you know, was it for Brandon's faith, because it was his faith. He took us to Ohio. And, you know, Gene even said, he got in our way, and he's like, you know, you don't have to go, you know? And Brandon said, no, there's something in my heart. We have to go. There's a reason we have to go there. And we went, and I got nothing but sicker, ended up bedridden, ended up despairing, hopeless, overcome, listening to the devil, basically, with despair. And just really was in the darkest hour of my life. And, you know, the whole reason we were there fell through. We're looking at each other going, why are we here, you know? And I just will never forget the day that Brandon came to me at my bedside and he said, you're not going to make it if you don't have faith in something. If you don't have hope for something. Something that the Lord has spoken to you. If you don't hang on to it, you're not going to make it.
I said that?
You did.
It's not bad.
Because that was the point that I started to turn. I heard it, and I said, Lord, you promised me that you would heal me. You promised me children. And I'm going to believe, and I'm going to have faith. And I crawled out of my bed, and I went and sat on the couch and flipped on the TV, and there's Benny Hinn. And I probably have been watching it for 5 minutes. I mean, when I flipped it on, I mean, he was, yeah, three stations, you know. I flipped it on, there's Benny Hinn, and I struck. And I couldn't change that channel. I was glued to it. And about 5 minutes went by, and he stopped. And he looked at the camera, and he said, there's a lady. She's wearing red. She's sitting on the couch right now. He said, you're hopeless. And you'll stay. You've been really sick. You don't think you're ever going to be able to have children. He said, I'm going to tell you that today, this time of your, of day, next year, you're going to have a baby girl. And I mean, the anointing came down, and the Holy Spirit touched me. for me. I'm sitting there wearing red, you know? I knew it was for me, and I'd always watch those faith healing movies or shows, and they speak to the camera, and they speak to this person or that person, and I've always thought, geez, I wish it was me, but I never felt it was for me. And I knew it was for me. And Brandon came home, and I told him about it, and he said, I really think that it was for me. And Brandon's like, what do you mean? Didn't you claim it? You need to claim that. You know, I claim it, you know. And he spoke faith. And, you know, I was just thinking about the scripture when I was sitting down. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. And I thought about the scripture that says that Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. And I was just thinking, you know, it's just amazing what little bit of faith. I didn't have very much faith. But what little bit of faith that I chose to have, God moved mountains. You know, I have three beautiful children. I mean, and speaking with, you know, my eating and my whining and complaining, he sent me my mother, who has faith. And she kept on me. And you know what? I chose to have faith and to eat what was good. And you know, God's cured me. And it is, it's receiving his word and faith. And
I just wanted I'll just read this one little thing, you know, but it's because the apostles asked this from the Lord when he was talking to him about something. And this is something that, you know, this week, I want us to go out from here with a real vision for what we can do to lift up this ministry. And to lift up the elders in this ministry, and so the thing that the apostles said to the Lord was, anybody tell me? Increase our faith. And it's something that he's said multiple times in meetings, and it's something that we have to ask for. And the interesting thing is you read this, I ought to read it because I think it's kind of funny. It says, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns again to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And what did they say? Lord, increase our faith. I mean, how funny is that? I mean, you know, and it's so true. I mean, you know, I am somebody you can say to the Lord about, Lord, increase my faith, because this guy's really bothering me. He's repented for this thing multiple times, and he's a multiple transgressor. I mean, you know, I can be that man for you. And together, we can. And, you know, but I mean, seriously, I mean, we have to ask the Lord to increase our faith. And if you have not been in faith, and if you want to be in faith, then come forward. And I mean, judge your heart. If you've been in faith, don't come forward. If you are not in faith, and you want to be in faith this week, then come forward. Because the Lord is going to increase your faith.
When Jean was talking about that spirit that wants to put you to sleep by being at peace, and that's the voice that I have been, that's the spirit I remember. And after he was talking, that I thought of the scripture in 2 Peter that talks about in the last days there will be scoffers that say, the Lord's not coming, he won't keep his word, and basically to put us to sleep, that's the voice. And when we were singing that song about, I will rise from waters deep, that's what I felt like. I just want to proclaim, I will rise from the dead. Sleeping selfishness. And that's why I wanted to come up this morning.
That's good. This is from right there. I feel like I have a specific area of faith. I mean, I've been in faith for about a year that Al would give me time with Christopher. And now, through a set of circumstances and situations, I'm going to get Christopher every Wednesday.
Wow.
Every Wednesday night. And and I realize, well, I've been in faith for this, and this has come to pass. And now I have realized, now I need to be in faith for something.
That's good.
Thank you.
Give me faith.
Give me faith.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Give me faith.
Give me faith.
Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Give me faith.
Give me faith.
Jesus, increase my faith.
Jesus, increase my faith.
Increase my faith.
Increase my faith.
Yes.
Increase my faith.
Yes,
yes. 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 Yes.
sorry. Jesus.
Jesus.
My baby. Jesus. Jesus. Increase my peace. Increase my Jesus, increase my faith. Increase my faith.